I am a threat, as I represent a threat to the life that they have embraced, and they know it's a lie.
There is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part.
You're not in the hands of a master, you're in the hands of a maniac.
Here it comes.
This is Casey Ferguson from The Casey Ferguson Show, Invading Island Radio 92.1 FM. I have clutch guitarist Tim Salt on the phone. Welcome, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, I just woke up. This is, I know it's like 3 in the afternoon, but it's early for me. I'm a night hawk. What can I say? What about yourself? Are you a morning person, or are you like a, you know, you a night hawk like myself?
Well, when I'm at home, I'm a morning person because I have 2 kids that are up by 7 o'clock every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll do that.
But when I'm on tour, I'm on a completely opposite schedule.
Now, do you have problems switching back and forth between the two? Like, I mean, I know when I have to, you know, get up and do not something like this, but something a lot earlier, you know, if I have to get up at, you know, 7 in the morning for something, I'm just dragging ass, man. How are you about, you know, switching your schedule around?
I'm usually a complete disaster as far as that goes. Yeah, it's kind of hard sometimes, but after about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, it starts to become normal again, and then it's time to go back out on tour again and do it all over again.
Woohoo! Will you stop woo-hooing?
Clutch is hitting the road with Lamb of God and Corrosion of Conformity. I mean, this is going to be a killer bill, man. I think a lot of people are going to be really excited to see the three bands play together. I mean, are you pumped?
I'm definitely super pumped. For sure. It's been a long time since we've toured with Lamb of God, and COC is one of our favorite bands to tour with ever, so it'll be good to be out on the road with those guys again.
Well, you got lots of Canadian dates coming up on this tour as well, right? Like, I think the first one would be May 19th in Toronto. Am I correct on that?
Let's see. Is the Toronto show before the West Coast shows? I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I believe the Out West stuff is later on in the leg there.
Okay, well, I need to check the schedule, obviously.
So I don't know where I'm going, but I'll be there.
I know where we're starting, and I know where we're ending. So that's the most important thing. And I have my passport, so I'm ready.
There we go. You're all set. Yeah, you don't want to be getting held up at the border. That never goes over well.
It doesn't.
I want that camper torn apart. Full cavity searches all around. Something tells me he could be involved.
What in the hell?
After that Toronto show, I think it's the next night, you guys are you're playing the Rock and Derby Festival, which that's going to be quite the show, man. Like, everybody from like Megadeth to Anthrax, Five Finger Death Punch, Seven Dust, yourselves. Like, it sounds like it's going to be a real party. And I had to look up how to pronounce the name of this town because I've never been there. It's Shagtogok.
Okay.
Now,
I'm just going to call it Albany.
Yeah, that works. We'll go with that because I didn't want to say, you know, Shag the Goat or something. I didn't want to get that all messed up. Well, I guess I just did, but
we actually played the Shag the Goat Festival one time a few years ago.
Yeah, that would have been a real barn burner.
It was more of an underground metal thing. You know?
I thought that would have been a country festival. Oh, Lord, I apologize. Oh, man, they're going to throw me off the air for sure, and I deserve it, too. Sorry, boys. But it sounds like it's going to be a real real treat, man, like with all the people playing it. Like, are you into the derby thing, like the Demolition Derby?
Yeah, that always adds, you know, a fun element to the show, you know, the element of danger. The fact that we might get hit by a flying tire at any moment during the set really kind of, you know.
Well, you've ever been hit before with, like, weird stuff on stage? Because I know, like, you know, I've talked to some bands, and it's like, you know, you get a water bottle and the coconut or something. You ever had anybody throw something weird on stage?
Luckily, nothing too weird, just the normal stuff, bottles and, you know, regular stuff like that. It's no fun being hit by a glass bottle, but, you know, it's part of the job, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think people need to have a little more respect there. You know, you shouldn't be throwing bottles at anybody, let alone, you know, your favorite band.
Yeah, exactly. It happens, though.
Well, I remember reading in, I think it's Slash's biography, he talked about Duff McKagan getting laid out with a Jack Daniels bottle. Like, you know, you hit somebody in the head with a damn bottle and they get knocked out and they can't finish the show. Like, you know, how are you going to feel then, you know?
Yeah, exactly. exactly. Luckily, these days, most of our shows have plastic cup rules, so there's not really too many bottles in the house.
Yeah, a little solo cup's not going to hurt you, I guess.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Demolition Derby angle, just, you know, I think it pairs really well with the, you know, the hard rock bands and the metal that, you know, the promoters have booked for this thing. I think it's going to be really something, man.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a super fun show. It's always fun to play with, you know, heavier, bigger bands.
Now, have you played with a bunch of these guys before?
We've done a few festivals with some of these bands before, but, you know, coming up over the next month and a half, we've got a couple shows with Anthrax, Megadeth, Five Finger Death Punch, Rob Zombie, all those guys. I think we have like 6 or 7 festivals coming up with a lot of similar bands playing them.
Now, do you dig the festival thing? Like, you know, is it a good chance to, you know, see some of your friends that you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we get to play for a lot of people, and we get to play with bands that we, you know, enjoyed growing up. Anthrax, Megadeth, you know, that was stuff I listened to when I was 16 years old. So, yeah. Great.
Well, now, speaking of, you know, stuff that you listened to growing up, I know you've said that, you know, your blues influence, like, just for yourself personally, not necessarily the other guys in the band, but coming from sort of a second generation kind of deal, you know, like Hendrix and Page and guys like that. So I guess my question is, do you have a favorite Zeppelin album? Because it's hard to choose one.
Oh, favorite Zeppelin album. Huh, interesting.
I know it's not really a fair question, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's changed over the years. Obviously, when I was younger, the first thing I was into was, like, Stairway to Heaven and, you know, Black Dog and stuff like that. So, if you would have asked me a long time ago, I probably would have said, what is Zeppelin 4? But, well, I mean, I'm just going to have to go with Physical Graffiti because that has the most material, I believe.
Well, and it's so diverse, right?
Yeah.
Like, it really kind of covers, you know, all ends of the spectrum there.
So short, you know, you're only getting 6 to 8 songs on a Led Zeppelin album sometimes, so I'm going to go with the one with the most material, which was, I think, Physical Graffiti.
A lot of bang for your buck on those albums.
Exactly. Never gets old to listen to that either. And I always hear something new in every song, you know, when I listen to it after several years again.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that, because I feel the same way, because, you know, Jimmy Page, like, a lot of people forget that he was producing those records, and, you know, he really had a knack for that kind of stuff, like, just layering things to such a degree that, yeah, like, you listen to the song 20 years later, and it's like, oh, I never heard that shaker in the background, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That's half the fun of rediscovering the music of your youth, at least for me, anyway.
Oh, no, I completely agree. I remember, actually, just like a recent one, I was listening to Fleetwood Mac Rumors, an album that I just, you know, absolutely love. And I read, it was a book by the co-producer Ken Kayley called Making Rumors, and he was talking about how at the end of Gold Dust Woman, they're breaking glass, like pane glass windows. They're like throwing them off a ladder, you know, and it's maybe just something when there's a little, you know, too much drugs going on in the studio, or, you know, you've been in the studio too long, whatever. But it's like, now, you know, now I hear it. I never really noticed it before, you know, but it's interesting, as many times as I've heard that record, to go back and go, oh, wow, he's breaking glass in the background. I never noticed that before.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How did you feel about being placed in The Walking Dead? Like, to get a song on a show like that, I mean, it's just like the biggest show in the world. Like, how did that happen, and how did you feel about it?
Yeah, at the time, that was pretty huge for sure. Somebody who was in charge of music, I guess, over at The Walking Dead was a Clutch fan, and it was their idea. So they came to us, and of course we said yes. It definitely got the song out there quite a bit, and I think it made us a few new fans even.
Oh, for sure. Are you a fan of the show?
You know what? I haven't really watched it that much, to tell you the truth.
It's one of those shows, I guess, because they, you know, they're into so many seasons at this point. You know, when you're sick or something, you know, heaven forbid, we all get a cold or something. That'll be one of those ones you could binge watch, you know?
Actually, I'm looking forward to binge watching the new season of Trailer Park Boys.
Hell yeah. Good old Canadian boys.
Exactly. It just came out a couple days ago, so I'm looking forward to doing that on tour. I'm going to do that for sure.
Well, yeah, what are some other things that you guys do to keep things light on tour? Because I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, anyone who's never toured with a band. I mean, you know, I was a singer, guitar player, and, you know, you get at each other's throats a bit. I know you guys, you've been in a band basically since high school, but, you know, it's hard not to get on each other's nerves and what have you. What do you guys do to keep it light on the road?
Well, I mean, I guess over the years, it's just touring itself has just become a lot more routine for us. And we have the luxury of not having to drive around in a van for months at a time these days.
That helps.
yeah. So we have a tour bus, and it's nice and comfortable, so everyone can get as much sleep as humanly possible. Whereas on a van tour, you're getting like 4 hours of sleep a night. And on a bus tour, you're getting, you know, as much sleep as you could possibly ever need. So that really helps quite a bit with, you know, with touring in general, I think. You know, it's a lot more stressful on smaller bands, you know, because we can afford, you know, a bus. Luckily.
Sure, but I mean, you've done about a million of those van tours too, right? Like, you had to earn it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've done hundreds of van tours, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just part of it, you know. It's just kind of harder now that we're, you know, in our mid-40s to think about having to go back to doing something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm 32. I wouldn't want to do it now, man, you know. It'd take a lot to get me to leave the comfort of my... Well, actually, even, you know, I don't know if people know this that are listening to Island Radio right now, but I never go into the station. I do everything from home. I'm like, I'm not going over there. I think I've been to the station once. I'm like the from home guy. to get me to do like a van tour or something, to be like, oh my God. And I think you're right. I would say that, like, you know, sleep is one of the most important things. Like, you know, it's probably the hardest thing to get on tour, that along with, like, you know, good food.
Exactly. But for us, you know, we just have a good time playing shows, and we, you know, genuinely enjoy getting out there and playing. So that really helps quite a bit, too, that we actually enjoy being there and we like what we do for a job. It's incredible that we could actually call it a real job, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and if you don't love it, I mean, you wouldn't survive out there, man. You know, it's one of those things. I'm sure a lot of people out there, you know, just don't understand. And, you know, I'm not trying to talk down anybody, but the passion that it takes to stick with it long enough just to get somewhere in the music industry, let alone stick around like you guys have for, you know, 20 plus years, and you know, all the van tours and everything, there's a lot of passion and hard work involved there, and you know, it can really be a grind, but you know, it can be such a rewarding career if you know you can just stick with it. So you know, to any of the young musicians listening, you know, do you got any advice for these kids? Because I know it's a very different business these days.
Yeah, I mean, my main advice really is don't quit and play as many shows as you possibly can.
Well, yeah, it's like sort of that old, I've heard it in a different, you know, a bunch of different contexts with writing or, you know, this or that, but, you know, that old saying of, you know, like a professional musician is an amateur who didn't quit.
Yep, I guess that's kind of true sometimes. Yeah, I mean, just the important thing is not giving up. It seems like these days, recorded music is something that's becoming less and less of, you know, something that's going to be sold in the future. I think music in the future will probably be free. So, yeah. You can't really rely on record sales these days, obviously. Most people know that.
For sure.
So it's all about playing as many shows as possible.
Well, while we're talking album sales here, man, I mean, congratulations on Psychic Warfare debuting at number one on the rock and hard rock Billboard charts. I mean, that's killer, man. Like, congrats.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that is pretty amazing. After all these years, it's, you know, our chart positions get better and better. You know, go figure, but yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's a bit strange, eh? There's a lot of bands, like, you know, their trajectory is, you know, they come out, they have the hot album, then they kind of teeter off for a while, and then, you know, there's a bit of an ebb and flow. But you guys, it seems to be like a cumulative kind of thing.
Yeah, it's been a slow ascent to where we are now. I think that's part of the reason that we've been around for so long. You know, we've never really had, you know, a time where we were huge and then we were set back like 15 levels. You know, it's always just been a slow building process to where we are now.
Was there a point where you were worried that it wasn't going to go to the next level?
No, I mean, I guess I really don't know what the next level would be. I feel like we probably did take it to the next level after the Earthrocker album, maybe. It seems like our shows, especially in Europe anyway, got a little bit bigger. So, yeah, I mean, I really don't know what the next level is. It's great to be out there playing these big festivals, like you mentioned, with Five Finger Death Punch and Anthrax and Megadeth. It's good to, you know, share the stage with bigger bands and have a lot of people come see it. I always felt like, you know, the band has always been moving forward, so I never really felt like we were trying to, you know, attain some sort of unattainable level, because every every time we went out on tour, at least back in the old days, it seemed to get better and better, and we had more fans every time we went out on tour, and it's, you know, been that way the whole time. You know, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger just by smaller increments. So we've never really had like a huge setback or a time where we were really that stagnant, you know?
Sure.
It's always been moving forward, luckily.
Whiskey or wine?
Wine.
Beer or liquor?
Beer.
Beatles or Stones?
Stones.
De Niro or Pacino?
De Niro.
That's a tough one, right?
It is.
Advice to a 20-year-old you.
A 20-year-old me? Let's see. How about buy a Les Paul?
I like it. Well, thanks so much for your time, Tim. You know, best of luck on tour, and maybe I'll see you on one of the Canadian dates, my friend.
Awesome. That would be great.
All right. You take care, fella.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, anytime.
All right. Later.
Cheers, brother.